in the message series. But today I want to just talk today about the Good Shepherd. And I want to, many of you as look across the room, you know, Jesus said, I'm the Good Shepherd. We know Jesus is the Good Shepherd. However, in light of everything that's going on in our world, can I just tell you this? Our government does not have vision for the world. Our government, the county, does not have vision for the world. Now, you may think, wait a minute, Pastor Dan, didn't God establish government? He did. But he gave government to correct right and wrong. But he gave the church, the spiritual leadership, this wisdom with the vision of for the world and what was God's vision. The government's part of that. Business is part of that. But the church, you and I have a unique ability to go out and to shepherd the lost sheep. We have a unique ability to go out and say, hey, this is what life is about. This is the purpose and meaning. Government's great, business is great, all that you guys do, education's great, but it can't give us vision and purpose and meaning for life to the full extent. Today I want to talk to us about the Good Shepherd, about what does it look like to have pastoral leadership here that's healthy, but what does it look like for you to shepherd those new people that come into our flock? Or what does it look like to shepherd your flock at your home? Or maybe you're a leader at your work, or maybe as an employee, what does that look like in your work and your vocation to shepherd those around you? So turn with me to Ezekiel 34. And we're going to be reading here in a minute here. Let me get this going. There we go. So my question I want to start off with is this. What kind of shepherd are we supposed to follow and become like? Jesus said, come and see. And he said, come and follow me, right? So that's an invitation for all of us throughout all the ages to be like Jesus. We know this. We're supposed to be like Christ. Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. Well, if we're supposed to follow Christ, who was Christ and what did he do? Well, he was the good shepherd. He was the ultimate shepherd. And in John 10:11, Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. So here's some questions I want us to answer today. Is what does it look like for the leaders of the church and his disciples to follow him? How should we follow his example in shepherding those around us? What's required of pastors and elders? And what does a good shepherd look like in the local church setting, our home, and in our city? What does that look like? We are called to lead people. Now, you might think, well, man, Pastor Dan, I'm not the pastor. You're up there. You got to lead us. You're right. That's my call and my assignment. But each one of you are leading someone. You're always leading. You're always influencing. And my question for us is, are you following the good shepherd or are you following what the world says? Remember what Jesus said to the disciples. You're not going to lead. You're not going to lord your power like the Gentile kings. But what did he say? You're going to become a servant to all. And you're going to be different. And just like for us, if we don't have the right vision of what it means to be a good shepherd, when we lead, when we see new believers, new people come back, the prodigals come back, are we going to lead them like Jesus would? Or are we going to lead them in maybe what we would say, business models or educational models, which are not wrong, but they're not the kingdom spiritual models we need to lead in as the church of Jesus. And so with that, turn with me to Ezekiel 34 here. And let me just remind us that through all the scriptures today, you're going to hear this word shepherd and shepherding. You're going to hear this theme of a shepherd. And it's all woven through scripture. As you know, as we read scripture, how many times you start reading scripture, you realize, oh, that's that word, that theme is here, there, everywhere. It's all through scripture. Well, today I want you to listen to the language that Peter uses, Jesus uses, and the Apostle Paul uses, talking about shepherding. Turn me to Ezekiel 34. I'm going to read out of the ESV. It won't be here on your screen, so follow along with me here. And we're going to take some time and read some longer portions here, portions of scripture. It says, this is, once again, Ezekiel the prophet writing. He says, the word of the Lord came to me. And this is what the Lord's telling him to write. Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, even to the shepherds, thus says the Lord God. Ah, shepherds of Israel, who have been feeding yourselves. Should not shepherds feed the sheep? You eat the fat. You clothe yourselves with the wool. You slaughter the fat ones, but you do not feed the sheep. The weak you have not strengthened. The sick you have not healed. The injured you have not bound up. The strayed you have not brought back. The lost you have not sought. And with force and harshness you have ruled them. So they have scattered because there was no shepherd, and they became food for all the wild beasts. My sheep were scattered. They wandered over all the mountains and over every high hill. My sheep were scattered over all the face of the earth, with none to seek or to search or to seek for them. Therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. As I live, declares the Lord God, surely because my sheep have become a prey, my sheep have become food for all the wild beasts, since there was no shepherd, and because my shepherds have not searched for my sheep, but the shepherds have fed themselves and have not fed my sheep. Therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God, behold, I am against the shepherds, and I will require my sheep at their hand, and I will put a stop to the feeding the sheep. No longer shall the shepherds feed themselves. I will rescue my sheep from their mouths, that they may not be food for them. For thus says the Lord God, behold, I myself will search for my sheep and will seek them out. Who does that sound like? That sounds like Jesus and what Jesus said. As a shepherd seeks out his flock when he is among his sheep that has been scattered, so I will seek out my sheep and I will rescue them from all the places where they have been scattered on a day of clouds and thick darkness. And I will bring them out of from the peoples and gather them from all the countries and will bring them into their own land. And I will feed them on the mountains of Israel, by the ravines and in all the inhabited places of the country. I will feed them with good pasture, Psalms 23. And on the mountain heights of Israel shall there be grazing land. They shall lie down in good grazing land, and on rich pasture they shall feed on the mountains of Israel. I myself will be shepherd of my sheep, and I myself will make them lie down, declares the Lord. I will seek the lost. I will bring back the strayed. I will bind up the injured, and I will strengthen the weak, and the fat and the strong I will destroy. I will feed them in justice. As for you, my flock, thus says the Lord God, behold, I judge between sheep and sheep, between rams and male goats. Is it not enough for you to feed on the good pasture that you must tread down with your feet the rest of the pasture, and to drink of clear water that you must muddy the rest of the water with your feet? And must my sheep eat what you have trodden with your feet and drink what you have muddied with your feet? Therefore, thus says the Lord God to them, behold, I myself will judge between the fat sheep and the lean sheep, because you push with side and shoulder and thrust at all the weak with your horns till you have scattered them abroad. I will rescue my flock. They shall no longer be a prey, and I will judge between sheep and sheep. And I will set up over them one shepherd, my servant David, and he shall feed them. He shall feed them and be their shepherd. And I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David will be prince among them. I am the Lord. I have spoken. I will make with them a covenant of peace and banish wild beasts from the land, so that they may dwell securely in the wilderness and sleep in the woods. And I will make them in the places all around my hill a blessing. I will send down showers in their season. There shall be showers of blessing. That's where we get that old hymn, showers, showers of blessing. Remember that old, if somebody remember that old hymn. And the trees of the field shall yield their fruit, and the earth shall yield its increase, and they shall be secure in their land. And they shall know that I am the Lord when I break the bars of their yoke and deliver them from the hand of those who enslave them. They shall no more be a prey to the nations, nor shall the beasts of the land devour them. They shall dwell securely and shall make them afraid. And I will provide for them renowned plantations so that they shall be no more consumed with hunger in the land and no longer suffer the reproach of the nations. And they shall know that I am the Lord their God with them, and that they, the house of Israel, are my people, declares the Lord. And you are my sheep, human sheep of my pasture, and I am your God, declares the Lord God. Man, church, that's the God we serve. Man, that's the God of power and might. I mean, we could stop there, but we got more of the message to get through. But man, that's encouraging. But boy, that's a rebuke to the church, to Israel. So with that, let me ask you, what did you hear in that scripture regarding who God is as our shepherd? What did you hear? I'll take a moment here for some feedback. What did you hear? Who is God according to that passage, excuse me?
It's kind of like an Isaiah 58 moment, like where he's like, just stop your fasting if you're not doing it for me, right?
Yep.
So he tells the shepherds to stop it, and he's going to be the shepherd.
Yep.
So he's the good shepherd by his spirit.
Yeah, that's good. Yep. Yeah, what's the scripture saying there about who God is their shepherd?
He's a voice for the weak and the not healed and the sick.
Yep. Yep. Anyone else? Yeah, Andrew. Andrew, then go to Drew.
He eliminates the predatory beasts and brings peace.
Yep. He's the ultimate peacemaker, yep.
I mean, God wants what's good for his sheep, and even the clean water to drink. Like, he wants clean water to drink, and he will hold those people who muddy the water against them. And so, for what's good for his sheep.
Right. Right. Yeah, Dan, then we'll go to Joel next. Yep.
It's a message you hear throughout Scripture, right? It's about being a servant. Serving the people, serving everybody, not just raising yourself or bringing favor upon yourself or only looking at what's pleasant to look at.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, Joel.
It's to me, it's kind of a rebuke of false shepherds, of people that have purposely tried to lead people astray or tried to fatten themselves off of the sheep of the Lord. He's basically saying, hey, you're going to be humbled, you're going to be brought low, and I'm going to take over your job because you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing.
Mm, that's good. Yep. And why I start here with if this verse is that, for us to understand who Jesus is as a good shepherd, we have to understand what's the expectation. How listening to that chapter, how many of us, did you hear the words of Jesus? Did you hear the New Testament writers? Did you hear all what Jesus' his parables and what he talked about? It was all woven in. Did you hear Psalms 23? Did you hear what King David said through his different psalms? But Joe, I like your comment, and everyone's comment, but specifically, right, God is saying, if you don't take care of my people, I'm gonna move you out of the way, and I will do that. And right now, in our world, we're seeing a lot of churches do things right, and a lot of pastor leaderships are doing. There's a lot of churches that are healthy doing things right, but we also have churches that we've seen throughout the ages that in essence abuse the sheep. They live off of them. They gouge them. They gorge them. They abuse them. And church, that is not what we are called to do. And why I'm bringing this up is that I'm praying as we see a renewal and revival of people come into our church and Church of Siouxland, are we healthy shepherds? Are we serving the new people? Are we serving one another here? Or are we just, man, are we just dog eat dog? Man, whatever I can get out of you, I will use and abuse you to get whatever I can get out of you. Now, you might think, well, that's not our case here. And I don't think that's our case here as a body. But we must always be vigilant and self-looking ourselves. Lord, search my heart. King David said, May the words of my mouth and the thoughts of my mind be pleasant before you and be pleasing. Are we self-searching ourselves? And Isaiah, later on, Isaiah 40:11, he says this. He says that God says that he will tend his flock like a shepherd, and he will gather the lambs in his arms, he will carry them in his bosom, and gently lead those that are with young. Boy, isn't that a metaphorical word picture for us of who God our Father is? That he takes care of those, that he will guide us, that he'll keep us close. How many of you ever remember being picked up by your mom or dad and being held close, maybe by a grandparent that maybe held you close and, you know, cared for you? You felt secure. You felt, man, I'm good. I mean, I remember my dad's big hands, his big, strong arms, thinking, man, I'm with my dad, dude, I'm good, you know? I'm protected from my little brother who's trying to get me. Like, I'm okay. But God right here is giving us this Old Testament word picture that a shepherd of the church, of his people, is to be tender, yet strong, self-sacrificing, yet unashamed of, hey, this is where we need to go, this is what we need to do. And I love this last line. Hey, look at this last line. He gently leads those that are with young. God loves families. God loves kids. He loves grandkids. He loves your little nieces and nephews. And isn't it awesome that the God who is eternal, resplendent with power and might and holy, and the mountains melt before him and he trembles and there's lightning and thunder, he loves the little kids and he says, hey parents out there, hey grandparents, I got you. I'm going to walk alongside you. I'm going to help you with your kids. And I'm going to come alongside you. Maybe adults, you got grown kids here. He's going to still walk alongside you and shepherd you, even with your grown kids. But I want to highlight this Old Testament context here that he provides in the scripture. He provides, he guides, and he protects. Did you hear that in the scripture? The good shepherd guides, protects, and provides. So with that, let's go on to the New Testament. Turn with me over to the book of John. John 18. And we're going to look at verses 1 through 18. Not 18, excuse me. John chapter 10. That's the wrong chapter. There you go. I guess AI didn't correct that for me. Oh, man, AI. Thanks, Joel. I appreciate that. Yeah. All right, John chapter 10, verses 1 through 18. It won't be on your screen here, but read along. And once again, I'm reading out of the ESV. It says, this is Jesus speaking. He says, truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name, and he leads them out. When he has brought out all of his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. This figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So Jesus again said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and to kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. Amen. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me, just as my Father knows me, and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, that they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. He's talking here about the Gentiles that are outside that he was going to bring in. He says, for this reason, the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down on my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This charge I have received from my Father. Man, amen. Amen to that. And once again, I want to ask us, what did you hear in that scripture that about who the shepherd is? Who is the shepherd? What did you hear in that passage? Anybody want any thoughts on that? We know that Jesus, the good shepherd, lays down their life. Yeah, Dave?
maybe it's my outlook on life, but I'm focusing on the thief. So, like, I've never thought of it in context of Ezekiel 34, like reading the two together. But in Ezekiel 34, he comes against the shepherds who are bad. And then he says here, the thief comes. But it says, all who came before me were thieves and robbers. So he's referring to people.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And then he says, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, which we always refer to as Satan. But it's interesting that right before that, he's referring to the thief as a person.
The persons, yeah.
Not just Satan.
Right.
So, like, those who are bad shepherds are aligned with Satan.
Right. Yeah. That's my take on it, right. When we start digging into the passages, right. There are shepherds, right? We've seen pastors. I've known pastors that have stolen from God, right? That have caused people to sin, to pull them away, that taught them false theology, you know, and then something that's beyond personal freedom, but truly unorthodox, heretical doctrines, and have stolen people, right? So that's good. Anything else? Yeah, Dan.
And the other part I see from that as well is also from the point of view of the sheep, right? Because it talks about exactly what Dave's talking about, what Joel talked about earlier. The false prophets, the false leaders, the false ones that are taking advantage of the sheep. Yeah. But as a sheep, a true sheep, a true believer, you should be able to, with discernment, be able to know that this is not right, this doesn't feel right.
Correct.
Walk away from that and know the good shepherd and
right.
Follow the good shepherd.
That's right, yep. It speaks to that we can know his voice. We can know the voice of the good shepherd, right? Right? God's not some, you know, out there and we can know his voice and understand him. So let me dive into a few things here. Acts 20, 28 says this. It says this, the writer, Luke writes, he says, keep watch over yourselves and all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Be shepherds of the church of God, which he bought with his own blood. We know that God our Father, we know that he's the ultimate shepherd, and Jesus is the good shepherd, right? And Jesus came and gave his life for us. And then we see in Acts, now we see, how is the church, how is the new body, the new believers supposed to operate? How are the pastors, the elders, the leaders, what are they supposed to mimic? And what's interesting is the scripture could have picked a million things. You are to impersonate, imitate the emperor. Didn't say that. It doesn't say, hey, you know what, disciples, get a you know, a three-point business strategy. Get a two-year outline, get a marketing plan, social media, get a revenue stream plan. What does it say? It says to be a shepherd. To be a shepherd. Now I know we're kind of like, well, is there more to that? Well, think about that. Here you have the savior of the universe. He's risen. He's healed. He could have said, man, go be a conqueror. Go kick Rome in the face. Take over the Greeks. Man, get the money. Get the power. Build up Israel. And he said, go be a shepherd. I don't know about you. I'd been like, wah, wah, wah. Are you serious, Jesus? But yes, he's serious. Because why? Because the pattern has been set all through Scripture that the Lord God Almighty is the shepherd. And that what we're supposed to do in our church, we're supposed to lead from spiritual leadership. We're not supposed to lead, let's say, out of business leadership, educational power, or financial power. We're to lead out of serving. And we're to lead out of tender, out of caring for one another. We're to lead out of making sure the lease is provided for and cared for and given full attention and value and love and saying, hey, you have a place in this family, in this kingdom. You have a place. No matter if you can give a lot or you can give a little in between, you are valued here. And as the church was beginning to breathe and go out and to grow, he says, be shepherds. And I would submit to us, many of us, sometimes we think, well, man, maybe I don't have the best business IQ, or I don't, you know, I'm not this leadership guru guy, but no, I can serve, I can care for one another, I can discern right from wrong, I can hear the voice of the Lord. I say, and I want to tell you today, that's enough. Through the power of the Spirit, and in this church, and through the church of Jesus, if we are just shepherds, then church, we're enough. That's a high calling for us to emulate and to follow through on here. Look here at 1 Peter 5, verses 1 through 4. Once again, later on in the New Testament, we're not going to cover all the passages, but there's more passages that talk about the shepherding. But once again, Peter writes, he says this, to the elders among you, I appeal as a fellow elder and a witness of Christ's sufferings, who also will share in the glory to be revealed. Be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, watching over them, not because you must, but because you are willing. As God wants you to be, not pursuing dishonest gain, but eager to serve, not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. Once again, as the church was starting, and as the apostles were encouraging and teaching the young leaders, they could have said a million things of who. What are we supposed to be? Should we be like the Lord that came down and squashed the Egyptians? Or it could be this or that. What'd they say? Be a shepherd. And could you only imagine, think about this, the apostles in the early church, the Jewish people that were the new believers, they would remember Ezekiel 34. They remember the Psalms of David. Oh man, the shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And they would realize, oh, this is the spiritual, this is the image, this is what we're supposed to do, we're supposed to imitate. Now what's interesting here, this word here, Lord over them, this is the same word in the Greek that is used in Acts when it talks about the seven sons of Sceva. Remember the seven sons of Sceva that thought they knew Jesus, but they didn't know Jesus, and they were trying to manipulate and use Jesus' name to gain power? And what happened? It says that the demoniac, it said it lorded over them and beat them, gave them such a beating, they went away running and naked and bleeding. This is the same word in the Greek that's used. So what I just want to highlight to us, shepherding leadership in the church, in the local church, is never domineering. It shouldn't be abusive. It shouldn't be controlling, manipulative. Now, is correcting someone, is that abusive? No. Right? Let's be very clear, right? Discipline your kids, right? When you discipline your kids are like, oh, you're hurting me, your mom and dad, or I don't want, you know. No, you're not. You're loving your child by disciplining them, all right? But in the church, when we discipline, when we correct, that's not lording over that. That's exercising right shepherding, corrective shepherding. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. The shepherd has to use the rod, right? To say, hey, get back in line. And then he uses the hook to sometimes save him. Hey, don't go over that edge, little guy. You know, don't go over there, little sheep, right, to protect them. That may feel, have you ever been, you know, hit by a rod or pulled by one of the shepherd hooks? I remember when I was at my church growing up, of course, this is going to involve my brother. We found the shepherd's hooks that were involved in the Christmas play, right? And so we started playing with them, you know, after church. And, you know, I remember I got hooked in the neck by that thing, and I was so mad at my brother. Now, a shepherd's hook may hurt, but it can actually save you from something, right? And a shepherd can use that. So once again, as Christ gives us the model of leadership in the church, shepherding should not be lording. We shouldn't do it to be like, oh man, I'm going to get rich off of Crosspoint. Holler, you know, right? It should be, no, I'm here to serve and give my life. Now, let me ask this. What does the good shepherd do? Now, we just read two passages of what he does, but let me give you something very simple you can take away with. We have sang the song before, the Good Plan song by Red Rocks Worship. We've sang this. We probably, most of us in the room have probably memorized this. We've read it to our kids. We've seen it on posters or anything. But let me just, in light of these two verses we just read, these two passages, Ezekiel 34 and John 10, read Psalms 23 in a new light. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. What does the good shepherd do? He provides. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. He guides. So when someone asks us, well, what does Jesus the Messiah do? He provides, he guides, and then he protects. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. The good shepherd, a good shepherd of any local church, And a good shepherd of your home, and a good shepherd, if you're out, if you're shepherding people, we should be providing for people, guiding people, and protecting people. If we could just get those things straight, man, church, our city, our world would be completely different. I hope, my prayer for our church and for us is that when people come to this church, and maybe they're here for a year, 2 years, 20 years, and God moves them away, they have to move or whatever, I hope they can say, man, I was provided for, I was guided, and I was protected. I pray when they walk away from this fellowship, they can say, the shepherds of this body, the elders of this body, protected and guided and shepherded me, and protected and guided me and provided for me. Now, with that, let me add something else. Now, how do we take this in a practical standpoint? What should pastors be doing? What should we be doing as we shepherd those around us? So, as shepherds over God's flock, what should we be doing? What's the practical steps? We should be self-sacrificing, not self-serving. In Ezekiel 34 and John 10, what did we hear? We heard that the good shepherd goes ahead of us. He gives first. He gives out of his abundance. He gives you water first, just like on the airplane. Put on your oxygen mask. Well, yeah, first, but anyhow. Actually, that's not a good analogy. Never mind, I won't go there. But we should be self-sacrificing. I was going to work that differently. Never mind. We want to put our oxygen on the kids first, but we got to do ourselves first. But anyhow, that's a bad analogy. That'll be a good one. But we should be self-sacrificing, not self-serving. Second of all, we should be speaking truth, not lies. As good shepherds, the good shepherd in both these passages, they spoke truth to us. Now, in Ezekiel 34, it was some harsh truth. But the truth sometimes can be harsh and very and course-correcting. But we should be speaking truth and not lies. The third thing is this. We should be empowering, not controlling. Did you hear in both those passages, did you hear how God was going to give us resources? How God was going to come and give us life? And he was going to feed us, give us clean water, and care for us. Jesus said he was going to lead us and be the gate and protect us and lead us on paths of righteousness. Man, that is empowering. That is life-giving. As good shepherds, whether in your home, in your job, to your family, your spouse, we should be empowering. The last thing is this. We should be submitting as shepherds to the community and authority around us, not trying to dominate the community or authority around us. Now, in our world, our context, submission can get a bad rap. We think, man, we got to be just on our own, be the man in charge. But really, as good shepherds, what did Jesus say? Jesus said, I came to do the will of my Father. He gave me power to lay down my life and take it up, but I came to do the will of the Father. And as shepherds in this body, as shepherds in your home and in your marriages with your children, we have to be submitting to those around us and submitting, not dominating, not lording, not being like, well, I'm the mom or the dad, or I'm the pastor. How horrible would it be if I came in and say, man, I'm going to dominate, and I'm not going to submit to correction or rebuke, or I'm not going to submit to the elders. I'm not going to submit to one of my fellow just brothers or sisters in Christ in this room because I'm the pastor. We don't see that by the good shepherd narratives. We don't see that by the apostles. We are called to submit because Jesus is our ultimate example because he submitted to the will of the Father. And once again, we could probably go through and tell stories where we've seen pastors that would not submit to rebuke, correction, teaching, to wisdom. And what happened? There's abuse, scandals, molestation, embezzlement. I mean, there's a whole wide area of things that have happened. And, you know, this week in the news, I don't know if you heard, there was a huge incident, an indictment by the Oklahoma Attorney General of a pastor in Texas of Gateway Fellowship, a big church. Over child molestation charges back from in the 80s, stuff that wasn't dealt with, wasn't handled right by deacons, the elder. I mean, it's a whole mess. We won't get into that. It's a whole mess. But people try to be like, no, that's the pastor. Oh, we're not going to submit. We're not going to, you know, we can't call things on the carpet. We can't call things to attention. And once again, church, as a good shepherd, the good shepherd should never steal or destroy because a good shepherd, he guides, he protects, and he provides. And once again, we have to make sure as shepherds over God's flock that we are doing these things, that we're giving of ourselves, speaking truth, and we're leading correctly. So let me close with this. Scripture throughout has talked about the good shepherd, but let me just highlight this. We're going to meet people that don't have a shepherd, that are lost, that are in the wrong pen, that are not in the true sheep pen with Jesus. Let me turn your scripture here to two scriptures in Jeremiah 23 and Jeremiah 31. Jeremiah 23, 1 through 5 says this. He says, woe to the shepherds who destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, declares the Lord. Therefore, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, concerning the shepherds who care for my people, you have scattered my flock and have driven them away, and you have not attended to them. Behold, I will attend to you for your evil deeds, declares the Lord. Then I will gather the remnant of my flock out of all the countries where I have driven them, and I will bring them back to their fold, and they shall be fruitful and multiply. I will set shepherds over them who will care for them, and they shall fear no more, nor be dismayed. Neither shall any be missing, declares the Lord. Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will raise up for David a righteous branch, and he shall reign as king and deal wisely, and shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. Who's this talking about? Jesus. Man, prophesying the prophetic. Here's what the great thing about the prophetic. Prophecy tells us in the beginning what's going to happen in the end. And all the way back in Jeremiah tells us that there's going to be, throughout the centuries, there was going to be evil leaders. There was going to be shepherds that abused the Israelites, abused the people, abused the Gentiles. However, the Lord promised he would send the Messiah, the anointed one, the promised one to come and rescue us. And look in this verse here, Jeremiah, look at what he prophesies. He's going to take care of us. He's going to gather the remnant. What's this talking about? This verse in Jeremiah are not fulfilled yet. God has already began that drawing. In 1948, he began the drawing of his people back to the nation of Israel, to the original boundaries that were promised in Deuteronomy. This promise is a now, not yet. It's fulfilled in Jesus, but the completion of this prophecy is not filled yet. And I bring this up because I want to encourage you. We get to be in this time righteous shepherds, aligning underneath, submitting to the good shepherd himself and saying, Jesus, we partner with you. We align ourselves with the one true king, and we want to go out and help gather those that have been scattered, that have been pushed away. We want to gather and bring those back, those people, to your rightful pen where they are protected and they're guided and provided for. Later on in Jeremiah 31:10, he says, hear the word of the Lord, O nations. Now, in Scripture, you're going to see in Old Testament, you're going to see where it says, hear the word of the Lord, O Israel, and O nations. What's interesting, once again, the prophetic, in the beginning, talks about what God's going to do in the end. And in back in Jeremiah, once again, God is prophetically talking through Israel, who Israel thought the Jews were going to bring salvation. They were the most righteous. But all the beginning, God the Father was saying, no, all these people can come to me. And he says, hear the word of the Lord, O nations, and declare it in the coastlands far away. Say, he who scattered Israel will gather him and will keep him as a shepherd keeps his flock. This is a promise, yes, for the Israelites and for those that are still not have put their faith in Messiah. But church, this is a promise for all of us that when we feel like the enemy is coming at us, when we feel lost, we can say, God, man, you're my shepherd who keeps his flock. And as Peter said, be careful and be good overseers of the flock. Tend your flocks. Our Lord tends to us. How many of you, I'm 45 years old, and I'm going to say, I want a good shepherd to take care of me. I want a shepherd to watch over my life. Watch over my bank account. Watch over my mind, my physical body, my family, my kids, my grandkids, my nieces and nephews, over this church, over you, my brothers and sisters. I want a good shepherd. This is a promise that we can pray and say, God, thank you that you are our good shepherd. And so with that, here's three questions you can go home with and pray about and ask the Lord to reveal where can you take some action steps. Is this, do you need the good shepherd to provide, guide, and protect you? Do you know someone that doesn't know Jesus? Go and ask them to say, hey, do you want somebody to protect you, to guide you, and to provide for you? Most people will be like, oh yeah, who's that? Please sign me up. And you can tell them, it's not the government. It's not the county. It is the Lord Jesus Christ. And let me tell you about this Jesus, who's a good shepherd. That's an easy question, a gateway for evangelism. It's an easy question to ask someone. Most people I mean, my role as a supervisor, they're like, hey, Dan, can the county take care of us more? We need more money. I'm like, nope. They're like, what? I said, but there's one I know who's got all the money and all the power and might and all the healing. Secondly is this, who is Jesus calling you to shepherd today? My role in that I've been blessed with for this time right now here is to be a shepherd to you guys. But each one of us are part of the royal priesthood. Each one of you are called a disciple to go out to the lost sheep, and as James writes, to snatch those from the fire. So who are you shepherding today? Who are you shepherding? You don't have to have 20, 30, 40. It's just, is there one that someone you're shepherding, that you're helping them to move closer to Jesus? And are you imitating Jesus and showing them what does the good shepherd do? And how does the good shepherd, our Lord Jesus Christ, what does he act and do? What does he say? Who are you shepherding? And lastly is this, what's one action step you can take to become a better shepherd today? Man, reading Ezekiel and John, there's a lot of things I don't measure up to what God the Father does and who Jesus is. There's a lot of things, man, I got to get better at, man. I need to work on. So today in your own life, what's one action step you can take to become a better shepherd today? Not a perfect shepherd, not the good shepherd, because that's Jesus, right? We're all submitting anything, but what's one thing you can get better at today? You can go home and say, Holy Spirit, fill me up. Give me, you know, empower me with this. I need this fruit of the Spirit better so I can be a better shepherd to reflect the aroma of Christ to someone, to be a sweet presence to someone of who Jesus is. What's that one thing you need to do today to be a better shepherd? And so with that, church, stand with me. Let's close here. Go ahead and stand with me here. And let's just take a moment. Let's just hear. Let's ask the Lord, how can we be better shepherds? Let's just take a moment. Let's just pray, church. And let's just invite him to come speak to us right now. Lord, we come before you and we say thank you that you are the good shepherd, Jesus.